Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com. Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
I walk a straight line, shackle and chain. Oh, gruesome Gertie is calling my name. There is no mercy in this penitentiary. Just ask the Hill String Gang, Rango.
Hey, everyone, and welcome back to Bloody Angola, a podcast 142 years in the making, the complete story of America's bloodiest prison. And I'm Jim Chapman. Woody Overton won't be joining us today, but as we like to do, I'm going to jump right into it. We're going to call this episode Inmates versus Convicts. And y'all have heard us say it many times. There's a distinct difference between inmates and convicts. Now, convicts don't know the rules. They're constantly getting into fights. They cause trouble in prisons. And typically, y'all, they don't carry a long prison sentence. Usually, they're short timers. There are people in there for 5 years or less, maybe 10 years or less. Now, if they do have longer sentences and they're causing all that trouble, they're usually in those early stages of prison life. Now, convicts, on the other hand, they're usually almost, a matter of fact, in most cases, always down for life. They just want to do their time. They don't want to let their time do them. And they don't fight. They will straight up kill you if you disturb their peace. They've accepted prison life. They're acclimated to it. And that's their home. That's where they live. That's where they conduct life. They don't want all that friction. So they'll shank your ass in a heartbeat. Now, in this episode, I'm going to highlight some of Bloody Angola's lifers throughout history. And I'm going to give you a glimpse inside of that convict. And we're going to start with a guy by the name of James Black Matty Robertson. Now, Black Matty, as he was known, he was a laborer in Faraday, Louisiana. Now, Faraday is in Concordia Parish, Louisiana, which kind of borders Mississippi and Louisiana on the right-hand side of Louisiana, if you're looking at a map. And it's a smaller parish, and most of the people that live in that parish, they're hardworking people, right? So in July of 1948, a female sawmill worker, she was raped. And after an investigation into the incident, James Black Matty Robinson was indicted and he was tried for that rape. Now, a mistrial was declared after the jury could not arrive at a verdict. Then, in April of 1949, he was indicted again and pled not guilty. On the very same day that he put in that plea, his lawyers asked that the not guilty plea be set aside, and they enter a plea of not guilty by reason of insanity. The judge appointed a coroner and a psychiatrist to assess Robinson's mental health, and he was found to be insane and was committed to the state hospital where he was held for 2 years. Then it gets even crazier, y'all. In a wild turn of events, another psychiatrist examined Black Matty and found him to not be insane. So when that happens, you get a new trial. So in 1951, he did get that new trial, but this time he pled guilty. So off to Bloody Angola he goes. And take note of the year, y'all. It's 1951. You know what happened in the 50s and 60s. They were the bloodiest years at Bloody Angola. People were cutting their Achilles tendons. You were working in sweat boxes, all that sort of stuff. So he did not have what you would call an easy go of it, but Black Matty, he kind of turned his life around in prison. He became what you would call the poster boy for good convicts. And 40 years later, in 1991, he actually earned the distinction of becoming Louisiana's longest serving convict at that time, at 40 years. Now, Black Matty, he worked for years in Angola's notorious sugarcane fields, and we told you a lot about those. He also spent 10 years in the license plate tag plant at Angola, and I always tell people that if you have a Louisiana license plate, you have a little bit of history from Bloody Angola. They still make the license plates there today. Now, as his time at Angola grew, he got much easier jobs, and that was primarily due to his age. He was getting up there in years. It's kind of hard to work in the, you know, sugarcane fields when as you age, and also his physical condition. You know, as you age, you just can't do the physical stuff that you could do when you were 25. None of us can. Now, in over 40 years in Angola, he had only received 13 disciplinary reports. And that's not easy with that amount of time on your record, because you can get a write-up for pretty much anything outside of sitting in your cell and not saying a word. So 13 reports and probably no serious reports. I'm sure these were really misdemeanors, if you will, in prison. So in 1976, Black Matty actually earned trustee status, which enabled him to move about the prison with freedom that if if you're a convict, most of them will never earn. You know, they kept an eye on him, but he could kind of come and go as he pleased throughout the prison. He also went in front of the parole board in 1976 in an attempt to get his sentence cut to 50 years. But the governor, which was Edwin Edwards in those days, he would not sign for clemency. He also applied again in 1981 and again in 1988, but was denied both times. He was down for rape, y'all. And when you're down for life for rape, good luck getting a governor to sign any clemency papers, which in most cases, that's going to be political suicide for you. However, in 1992, Governor Buddy Romer did sign release papers for Black Matty, and after 41 plus years in bloody Angola, he was released. Then there's a guy by the name of Parnell Smith, and I'm going to tell you a little bit about him. In 1991, he was the second longest incarcerated convict in bloody Angola at 36 years inside the wire. Now, Smith arrived in Angola in 1953 to serve a life sentence for a murder he committed in 1952. And Smith, who was 20 years old, had been assaulted, stabbed four times in the neck, head, back, and chest, and was hospitalized for 9 days in that incident. So 2 weeks later, guy still had his bandages on, he decides to go out for New Year's Eve. Go figure. You get stabbed four times and you're going to go out for New Year's Eve. I guess he liked to party. So he goes to a bar and he actually runs into the guy that had stabbed him. The man reaches into his pocket and Smith pulls out a gun. He fires one time and leaves the bar. However, that man later died. And Parnell Smith pled guilty to murder and received a life sentence. Now, just a year after arriving at Bloody Angola, Smith gets into an argument with an inmate by the name of Louis Capone Lee in the dining room at Angola. And Lee pushes Smith and he threatens him, and a brief knife fight ensues. So Lee dies, and Smith gets transferred to St. Francisville, Louisiana for a jury trial. And whenever you have these prison fights and someone gets killed, or really if they just get injured and charges are pressed, you go to St. Francisville for a jury trial. And in spite of an argument of self-defense that he made, he was sentenced to death. So you may have wondered, well, he was already down for life. This just adds to the life sentence. No, you can get the death penalty even if you're already imprisoned and even if it involves another inmate and not, you know, a CO or something. However, Smith did appeal that conviction and his sentence was overturned. The state did prosecute him again, and this time the death sentence gets imposed and he's sentenced to death. So 20 years later, Smith carried the distinction of being recognized by the Guinness Book of World Records as the longest held prisoner on death row in the United States at that time. And he remained on death row until his sentence was eventually commuted to life. So now I'm going to tell you about Henry Patterson, who in 1991, he had spent 27 years at Angola. And Patterson was serving a life sentence for a murder that occurred in Caddo Parish, Louisiana. He was arrested in 1961, y'all, after he got in a fight with a man in a bar. And Patterson, who was 6'4" and 250 pounds, he grabs a 2x4 during this fight with another guy and hits the man one time. The man falls over and dies. It was later found out that the man had a plate. It was, look, this was back in the, you know, early 60s. So they didn't have the medical apparatuses that they have now, but this guy had a plate in his head and it ruptured the plate. And that's actually what, you know, 2x4 obviously killed the guy, but had he not had the plate in his head, he wouldn't have died, according to the coroner. But nonetheless, he was guilty, and he took a plea bargain because the state said, hey, we're gonna go for the death penalty unless you take the life in prison charge. And he took it, took that plea deal, got life in prison. Now, Patterson did not exhibit the behavior of the previous two convicts I just told you about. As a matter of fact, he was hell on wheels when he arrived in Angola. And Angola, you got to remember, it was a jungle during that time in history. And he claimed that many of the convicts were trying to turn him into a gal boy. And if you're wondering what a gal boy is, incidentally, go listen a couple seasons back. We have one entitled Gal Boy, which will tell you exactly what that means. But that forced him, in his words, to have to fight constantly. So it was not long before he had a reputation as a guy you don't want to mess with. Then in 1980, he claimed he found someone who believed in him and believed he could change. And that man was a security warden by the name of Walter Pence. So this security warden, he would discuss the importance of Patterson educating himself. And Patterson, he kind of bought into this, and he started taking cooking classes, and then he started taking baking classes, and eventually he earned certificates in both of those. Eventually, the baddest man at Angola at that time actually earned trustee status, all because the security warden saw something in him and decided to mentor him. He also became the head chef in the prison hospital. Now, cooking for those convicts in hospice care was something that he said was an absolute honor for him. And it's a good example of how the educational programs inside of Angola really do give people hope when they're incarcerated, these convicts. It gives them a sense of purpose, and it will totally change their attitude. This guy was a 6'4", 250-pound beast, and now he's cooking for people in hospice and all these things. So really a good story there. It is summertime, and you can cut down on your time in the kitchen so you can get back to enjoying the summertime sunshine thanks to HelloFresh's quick and easy recipes. Every week's menu features options that are ready in just 20 minutes or less. That's even quicker than delivery. Heading out for vacation? No problem. Just update your delivery address and enjoy easy HelloFresh meals at your vacation destination. Plans are flexible, so they work with your changing schedule. Look, going to the grocery store, searching for ingredients, for me, well, it always ends up like a trip to the dentist, painful and time-consuming. That's why I turn to HelloFresh. The time I save not researching how much garlic to add to my spaghetti or what aisle the ginger root is on allows me more time to research the largest maximum security prison in America, and I love that. And that crunchy, hot honey chicken? Don't even get me started on how good that meal is. Go to HelloFresh.com/BloodyAngolaApps for free appetizers for life. One appetizer per box while subscription is active. That's free appetizers for life at HelloFresh.com/BloodyAngolaApps. HelloFresh is America's number one meal kit.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Synovus.com.
Let's talk about James Dunn. So James Dunn, he arrived in Angola in 1960, and he was a short timer. He wasn't a lifer at this point, but He became a lifer. How did that happen? In 1963, he killed an inmate inside of Angola by the name of Coy Bell during a prison fight. He goes to St. Francisville. He goes to a trial, and he receives a life sentence. Then, in 1969, he catches another case, and he was convicted in that case of attempted manslaughter of an inmate during a fight. You know, the 60s, y'all, this is the bloodiest of bloody years at Bloody Angola, and there was a lot of fighting going on, and James Dunn apparently either got picked on or he liked to fight, one of the two. So we fast forward to 1987, and Edwin Edwards is once again in office as governor of Louisiana, and he grants executive clemency to James Dunn, and he was released. So you may say, why? This guy was causing problems in Bloody Angola. Well, these were isolated incidents, and it was against other inmates. It wasn't COs. Not that that necessarily matters. I'm not saying that. But they were two incidents. I don't know the details. I would assume that in these situations, maybe he was defending himself. And maybe later on, when you look over those case files, you see that. So even though he was convicted of these things, maybe it's a self-defense type scenario. But regardless of that, he did get executive clemency and was released. And when people looked at why, he was a squeaky wheel. And that gets the grease. He was described as absolutely relentless in filing for clemency and spent most of his time at Angola in the prison law library. And he took advantage of the many programs that Angola offers, especially as it relates to education. So in the end, his record outside of those two instances with other inmates is what won him his freedom. He was described as a super smart guy who worked hard and had a lot of degrees and things like that. And when you have that, it gives you the appearance of being able to function outside in society as a different person. So that is what is credited with why he got released. So I'm going to tell you about this next inmate. And look, this guy here is one of the more infamous convicts at Angola at this time, really in history. We've never done a story on him. We may do that at some point, maybe as a bonus episode or something on Patreon. But his name is Maurice Bickham. And in 1958, Bickham was convicted of the killing of two deputy sheriffs in St. Tammany Parish. And St. Tammany Parish is just a couple parishes over from where I'm recording right now. If you're going towards Mississippi and you're in Louisiana, you're going to pass right through St. Tammany Parish. But back in 1958, it was a very small parish. And Bickham, then 41, was a meter reader for a utility company in the city of Mandeville. Now, he's a black individual. This is 1958. And he has a pretty good job, which was, you know, the opportunity wasn't there for black men at that time in history, quite frankly, in that area of the country. So he had, you know, obviously this guy had some things going on about him that were good things. But according to Bickham, he was one of only two blacks at that time that lived in a white community. And like I said, this is the late 50s. You know, segregation is still a thing, a major thing at this time, and especially in South Louisiana. So he said the officers were also self-appointed security watchers for the community, kind of like what we know today as Neighborhood Watch. Now, he would come and go as he pleased in the neighborhood, like we all do. When you live in a neighborhood, you come and go. You don't check for permission, right? But he claimed that he was warned many times to not be out at night by these two officers. So in his words, they were harassing him constantly. Different time, y'all. Now, he would complain to the mayor of Mandeville. He worked for the city, right? So I'm sure he had access to the mayor, and he would complain to that mayor. And the mayor would go speak to these two officers and would kind of keep them off his back, say, leave him alone. And there's records of that where he was complaining. These guys were constantly harassing him. Well, one night, the two officers show up at Bickham's door. And according to Bickham, they threatened his life. A fight ensues, and Bickham was shot in the stomach. He returns fire, and he shoots and kills both officers. And it was discovered later that it's possible that those two officers may have been members of the KKK. He made that claim, and then a bunch of media dug into that years later. And although they couldn't find any hard evidence, there were people that were former members that were saying these guys were. I don't have any knowledge either way, but that was some claims. Unfortunately, there were no eyewitnesses to that shooting. Now, Bickham's case is one that kind of raises some eyebrows a little bit with the facts that I just gave you. And not only that, Bickham was also a pretty productive member of society. He even served at Pearl Harbor in the Navy. So while at Angola, Bickham was a model convict. He actually became an ordained minister inside of Angola, and he had a hobby. He had some rose bushes that were in one of the courtyards in Angola, and it was near his cell block, and he would tend to those rose bushes like every day. So the great-granddaughter of one of the officers killed actually dug into the case, and she said that she found Bickham's self-defense claim to be believable. As a matter of fact, to quote her, she said there were no eyewitnesses. This is Stacy Gill, who is the great-granddaughter of Gus Gill, one of those police officers that were killed. She also said it was 1958. Even without possible racism involved, it seemed to me that there should have been reasonable doubt in that case. I don't think he should have been sentenced to death or life in prison, but what I think can't change what he endured. And that was, you know, the great-granddaughter of the police officer killed. So Bickham's prison stay at Angola was the longest of any inmate who did not commit a crime while he was incarcerated, at 38 years, when Louisiana Governor Edwin Edwards commuted his sentence to 75 years, which made him eligible for parole because you got 1 day good time for every day you served when you had good time in prison at that time. So that 75 years essentially was cut to 37 and a half years. He had served 38, so he was eligible for release right away, and he was released. Now, get this. Maurice Bickham actually managed to live a really long life even after being released from prison. Despite being incarcerated for nearly 40 years, he died April 2nd, 2016, y'all, at the age of 98. He almost made it to 100. Pretty unbelievable considering, you know, nearly 40 of those years were spent inside the bloodiest prison in America. You made it through that. That's a miracle in and of itself. You would think as soon as you got out of prison, you would just die or die within short order. He lived well after leaving prison. Now, before I wrap up today, I want to play you a quick clip. It's about 5 minutes long, but I thought y'all might find it interesting. And this clip, it actually features six lifers in their own words, and they're describing bloody Angola and what life is like behind the wire. And here is what that sounded like.
I've been at Angola since November 1982. I was locked up in 1980, two counts of first-degree murder. That's what the charge was, yeah.
I got a little in trouble, and I came over here, you know, I can't speak English, and I run with a friend, bunch of friends, you know, I would follow them. And whatever friend do, I do, you know. That's how the follow do. Whatever they see people do, they do it. So young and stupid, you know, that's how, in case to make mistake, you know, that's why I end up in Angola.
We're 75-25 balance of black to white. People ask me all the time, do we have racial problems here? And I say, well, everybody comes in with their own built-in prejudices as they raised. I said, but there's something that happens when you're here. I said, think of being in a boat and you in there with your worst enemy. And you just, and the boat's leaking. And there's two cans and both of you have to bail. If one bails and the other one doesn't, the boat sinks. You both have to bail. Well, when you're in the same situation and you're both bailing, after a while you stop forgetting why you don't even like this person because you need this person.
I'm one of the best here. I mean, I'm not, you know, just, I'm very good. I'm a charcoal artist, naturally. I'm a natural public speaker. I'm a natural writer. I'm a natural musician. That's why I moved to this camp, because I travel in a traveling band. You know, I have developed all these different things, but nobody else in my family has. And so I believe that it was meant for me to do this. You know, it was meant for me to go through these struggles. And even in some sense, maybe I'm a Trojan horse, I don't know. But I know that I'm getting back.
I would say that I am a Christian. I believe in Jesus. And my life is for him.
A lot of people don't have family. A lot of people don't have a sense of self-worth. A lot of people don't believe that individuals actually do care for them. And I believe that service to humanity is possibly the best work in life. And by me being God-fearing and helping a person show that they're loved and cared for and giving the compassion that they need, sometimes it actually helps the person in their care, in their disease, and it's peaceful for them. It gives them a sense of happiness, and also it helps them connect with God.
You feel like it talk bad about you because you don't understand. So conversing that automatic put you in a paranoid situation. You know, like whatever they talk about and they looking at you, they smile, they laughing, that you think about it, talk bad about you or make a joke about you. You know, but when I came to Angola, that's my attitude kind of like real bad, you know. Real bad because so many other Vietnamese talking about the prison, and when you watch the movie, you know, you see how they do to the prisoner. And I got it in my mind, kind of like, gotta be tough, you know. But all this is wrong. All this is not, and you ain't gotta be tough, you know, to be who you are.
Even in prison, you know, there aren't many like me. I've never had an Indian girlfriend ever in my life. You know, I haven't even had five Indian friends in my life since I've been in the States, 30 years, you know. And it's traumatizing to me because, you know, when I look in the mirror, what do I see? You know, when I see you, you look normal to me. When I see Vietnamese or I see the blacks, I see they're normal to me. But when I look at myself, I don't look normal because I don't fit in. You know, and that's really troubling, you know, for me. And that's how they made me feel from the very beginning, you know.
And so the most part of me was Indian, so to speak. And so I just called myself, and everybody called me Indian. Of course, in the institution, they don't list you as Native American. They list you as Caucasian.
We've got a lot of lifers in this prison. We've got 4,000 lifers per capita, the most of any prison in the United States, but half of them are first offenders because of the laws here in Louisiana. Literally, you can get a life sentence a whole lot easier than you might think. And because of that, there's a certain lack of criminal mentality. career-type criminal mentality when it comes to that. They're looking for redemption. They're looking to do something to earn their way out, if it ever happens. They see them, they're treated as people, so they see themselves as people, as human beings.
Just if I could live it differently, I would live it differently, definitely.
Yep. I would imagine many would live it differently if they could. Hindsight's always 20/20, right? And you can always go back and find maybe aspects of your life you might regret. And so I hope y'all enjoyed that clip. I found it very interesting and thought y'all would.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at synovus.com. Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at synovus.com.
Look, thank you very much to all of our patron members. Just real quick, if you're a patron subscriber, you get bonus episodes. You get commercial-free early releases. There's some other perks on there, which we do for our upper-level tiers. And we're really going to get on that. I've got some things that are going out at the end of the week for our top tier. There's some quarterly gifts that we send out. But we want to thank you very much. And if you're not a patron person, we do have also an Apple subscriber channel. Unfortunately, Apple doesn't give you all the perks that Patreon does. And the reason for that is Apple, just their software does not support all these tiers and things like that. Basically, it's commercial free early releases, but it's the same price as it is on Patreon, like $10. And so for $2.50 a week, you get these commercial free early releases at a minimum, and you support the show. We love and appreciate that support. Look, this, Woody says it all the time. This is a business. One of these episodes, believe it or not, takes between 6 and 8 hours from start to finish. It's not just the record time. It's the editing time. It is the mastering of that audio. It is the research, which is the largest aspect of that time. And we just could not do it without the support of patron members. So thank you so very much. And until next time, I'm Jim Chapman for Woody Overton. We are your host of Bloody Angola, a podcast 142 years in the making, the complete story of America's bloodiest prison. Peace.
I walk a straight line, shackled and chained. Gruesome Gertie is calling my name. There is no mercy in this penitentiary. Just ask the Hill String Gang, Rango the Three.
need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Stop in and save big money on your next outdoor lumber project now at Menards. Menards has the largest selection of AC2 pressure-treated lumber and decking, and it's easy to load in our outdoor lumber yard. Plus, you can get free estimates fast with our deck design program in-store or on Menards.com. Check out our weekly flyer for more great deals happening now at Menards.
Save